All right, Ella, I see you. I think I've unmuted you. You want to test your mic? Here, it looks like you're got unmute. Yeah, we got Ralph on here with us right at the moment.
We don't have video, right?
Nope, there's no video. You'd have to turn it on.
Okay.
No
If
video.
I, if I, okay, just checking this out. No, the video doesn't go on.
Yeah, it came on for a second.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
It didn't come on mine.
Well, it might not show up on yours, but it will show
Hi,
up.
Ralph.
Yeah, he has no mic.
I miss you, Ralph. I wish you'd get back on the internet.
He said he has to set up a new account because they canceled the other one. So when it gets to be 8 o'clock, I'll go ahead and announce a social hour with the date and all that good stuff.
Okay. How are you feeling now? Better?
Oh yeah, I feel a whole lot like myself. A little weak because of 2 weeks of pretty much doing nothing but sleeping, but I was able to get up and do a bunch of landscaping work today and felt good to be out in the warm sun and actually sweat. So that was pretty good.
The temperature warmer there?
Oh, it's much warmer today. In fact, it's still in the
Yeah.
70s at the moment. So,
Nice.
yeah. All right, let me go
You
ahead
sound
and
like in.
go ahead.
Ahead.
Would you? Okay, I was just going to
I
say.
it was in the 50s. It was in the 50s here today, so it was kind of mediocre.
Okay. Okay, it's 8 o'clock, so I'll go ahead and officially start this Wednesday night, the 18th of January, 2023, by Yahweh's Design Social Hour. And right at the moment, anyway, we've got Ella, Matt, and Ralph on with us. I'm sure others have said they're going to join in, especially Melissa, because she had forgotten last week and even fell asleep. And I think I have you unmuted, Matt, if you want to say hello from overseas there.
How's it going?
It's going very, very good. All things considered, it's going good. Let's put it that way. How are things over in Ireland?
Grand, even up a bit, but yeah, personally everything's going fine here anyway, but I suppose everyone's kind of getting annoyed here with the immigration. There's a division here, you know how it is.
Yeah, we have some people that are awake and understand the ramifications of all of the nefarious crap that's going on with these Jews and what they're doing to our societies. And then there's some who are just completely brain dead. So, I mean, I had a talk with Mike in Miami today about that. He was trying to convince some person on his Facebook chat about what thou shalt not adulterate means in the original language, and this guy just refused to believe that. So I said, let him go. I mean, you can't save everybody. If somebody wants to hang on to lies and deception, well, then let them go down with the ship. Let's put a reference in saving people that have a brain that still functions, you know. Melissa, I've unmuted you.
Hi, how is everybody?
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Ella.
We're considering the state of the world. I guess we're doing pretty good just being here.
I'm doing good. Today's the second time that I've went for a 3 mile walk.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, to brag on myself, but I have to be honest. The other day when I went, I walked up to the Dollar Tree and I told the girl, because I always talk to the cashier up there, I said, you know, I'm walking up here and I'm thinking, this ain't bad, but then I'm thinking, oh boy, I got to walk back. Oh my, I GPSed it, and it's a three hour walk, and I'm really proud of myself. So I had to brag.
Wow.
Melissa.
I said 3 hour, I meant 3 mile.
3 miles, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jennifer's with us now too.
Jennifer. Melissa.
Hi, Jennifer. I talked to Jennifer earlier. We talked about cats.
Oh. Yep, I had to go vacuum out all the dirt because they're doing a walkthrough at public housing, and the cats. the logs that they sit in, you know, or these perches and stuff. They're ripping out the fur, not the fur, but the wool on it, and it's all over the back bedroom. And, oh, brother, but I have about a week to get this apartment ready. I have to clean out the oven. That's about the worst thing. But other than that, okay. I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry I keep missing your thing with Charles and Eric, but I fall asleep by 6:30 or 7, and I'm not going to stay on the phone like Mike used to do for 3 to 5 hours. So,
yeah, I can't stay on that long either. That's just too long of a phone call. It's supposed to be a meeting, and a meeting, if you look at Robert's Rules of Order or any of the literature out there on how to conduct a proper meeting, they generally put a limit on them at 45 minutes. They actually say they should be less than that, but certainly not more than 45 minutes. Well, our people just don't seem to understand that concept.
I know.
So they end up, getting into chit-chat sessions when we're actually supposed to be having a meeting to accomplish something.
Right.
If you want to call it a chit-chat session, and then drop the whole pretext of an official meeting and just open it up to the forum and let everybody jibber-jabber all they want. But you can't do both. You can't appease everybody and actually try to accomplish something in a meeting. That just won't work. Well, we got Lane from Texas with us. Hey, Lane, how you doing? Well, let me make sure you're unmuted. Yeah, you're unmuted.
Hmm.
We got two. I see two from Texas. Where are you at, Melissa?
Right now I'm in Kansas.
Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Ralph's up in Canada. Matt's over in Ireland, so we're international.
I have a friend named Matt that lives in Ireland.
Hello. How's it going?
What time is it there? Midnight?
It is 1:06.
Ooh. Very late.
Yeah.
Or should I say
AM? I can't remember the last time I stayed up till 1:00 in the morning. Is it 1:00?
That's what happened.
You know.
What was that, Matt?
He said I'm young and full of vigor, so it comes with the territory.
Well, most of us are
older, and I don't go to bed till around 3, so I'm up there with you, Matt.
Well. Yeah, Ella, but that's from when you were a nurse and you had those god-awful hours.
Oh, come on. You're telling all my secrets.
Oh, well.
Oh, hi, Ella. Hi, Ella.
Hi. Hi there.
Did you hear the latest about San Francisco? They're giving reparations to all the blacks now. They voted on it. All the taxpayers' money is going to... Oh, God. Oh,
my forget which daughter.
Turning black.
One of my daughters looked it up, and they said that they have to prove, it's my middle daughter, that they have to prove that they were from slaves to get the money. Her in her research, that's what she found out. We don't know how true that is. Because they say a lot of things, that doesn't mean it's true, but it's still... it's still BS. We have welfare. That's reparations enough.
We have Black History Month, which they have history.
Yeah, they just, you know, California is, well, the
we had a holiday Monday.
Pardon me?
We had a communist holiday Monday. I passed out flyers and talked to people. I sure did.
Told them what I
didn't know what it was at first. I had to look it up. I could not figure it out.
What is it really? It looks like an armadillo to me.
It's Michael King and his wife hugging. But my daughter said it was $10 million, and I had to look up myself, and it was they paid that guy $10 million for that piece of crap.
For what? We
couldn't tell whether it was a male organ or it was a piece of doo doo.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, they're tearing down the statues and any historical monuments to the white race, whether it's Union or Confederacy, anything that has to do with a reminder of who the white people are in our history and culture. They're destroying it, and in their place they're putting Jewish abominations, which is the only way you can explain any of these so-called pieces of art. The Jews have absolutely no aesthetic value to them whatsoever. They cannot differentiate between junk and actual art. I mean, I remember many years ago in a restaurant, I picked up a National Geographic because they had a whole pile of them sitting there, and I looked up these pictures from synagogues all over the world. And they showed the mosaics that were put into the floors, some of the artwork that was put up there and everything. Every single thing that they said was artistic in their synagogues looked like a three-year-old child had put it together. Everything from the tiles in the floor to the paintings to the statues, everything looked exactly like you would imagine a three-year-old child did it. And yet these Jews were saying how beautiful the artwork was, how valuable it was, and millions had been spent for it. Typically the artist is a Jew, so they're paying millions of dollars to fellow Jews, and white people are stupid enough to go along with it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's ugly. It's not art. It's junk. It's 100% junk, but in their twisted minds, they think somehow that's artistic. We got Charles, also from Texas, joining us now. Welcome, Charles.
Hi, Michael. Glad to be here. Dan.
Hi, Charles.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Charles. Charles today, too.
Jeez, my hair looks good. Hi, everybody. Turn off my hair so I get my hair.
Yeah, you don't have to. We don't have to do video. I mean, if you really want to, you can, but we don't have to tonight. Most of us know everybody here anyway, so.
I don't want to do a mess. Today is my oldest. If she was alive, she passed in 2012. She would have been 42 today. So, yeah, I'm not looking too good. I don't want to be on video.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it happens.
I know.
You're all beautiful anyway.
Oh, thank you, Ella. So are you.
I love everybody here because we all have the same heart.
Well, it's the soul within, you know. We all of us are in these body bags, and the body bags get old. I mean, it's just a part of nature, and more and more people are talking about that. I listened to about three videos today, and I was quite surprised that many of the things that we discuss on By Yahweh's Design is starting to filter out through different organizations. Not all of them are spiritual related. Many of them are political. Many of them are patriotic. But they're touching on a lot of the identity teachings that we've talked about for a very long time on the radio. And, you know, part of that, of course, is our spiritual connection. More and more people are using the proper ancient names for Yahweh and Yahshua. More people are talking about the Holy Spirit. More people are talking about a righteous revolution in this world, that we need to rise up as a righteous people and subdue the beast and destroy this beast, because the beast is never going to give up. The only way to stop what these people are doing in the name of Satan is to destroy them. Obadiah, Ezekiel, and many others have stated the exact same thing. And common sense should tell you that, too. I mean, communists are Zionists. Zionists are from the satanic side. And all through history, they never give up. They fight until they destroy their enemies. And then they terrorize the poor souls that are left. That's their nature. That's the way they've always done it. And we should grow up enough to know that it's either kill or be killed. So at some point, the righteous army of the Creator has to rise up and say, it's time to take these bastards down. I yield.
Well, that's what they did in the book of Jasher. It was all about war, and God on your side, and that's how they won. Sometimes there'd just be two or three of Jacob's sons, and they would slaughter whole communities. But they had Yahweh, just like in South Africa. Oh, gosh, I can't remember the war.
The Boer God War?
Yes, God put his shield up and saved the whites, but then they started mixing and getting away from the law, and now look at South Africa.
Yep, that's what happens to our people a lot. They start out on the right track, and so Yahweh's favor is on them, and they're virtually invincible. And then they get full of themselves because they become victorious, and they start thinking that, well, we did this on our own. And so they start looking at becoming worldly and hedonistic and chasing after the pleasures of the flesh and ignore it. And then you go right back. The vicious cycle. It's, I mean, when does the cycle end? That's what I want to do. I'd like to see it end it once and for all, to eradicate this.
I think we all started making our mistake when women's liberation came out and women started going into the workplace to take the jobs away from men. And, of course, they had to park their children into public schools. And then their children grew up to learn to hate us.
Feminism wasn't used against white families. I agree.
Now, and did anybody know that Gloria Steinem was born a man?
You know, I've wondered. I've heard other people say that, and I've...
question is, I've done a study on it. She is a he.
Yeah.
That would explain how ugly they are.
What was that?
That would explain how butt ugly they are.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever get a gander at Bella Abzug?
Oh, my God. She looks like a troll. Ralph put in here that...
all of the lesbian crowd of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Ralph put in the chat here that Judges chapter 3 says that Yahweh wanted Jacob Israel to learn war against the Kike nations around them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all supposed to be warriors. I mean, that's the whole idea, like the ancient Spartans. Our whole society was to be built around the idea of being soldiers. That's number one. In fact, if you look at Matt there in Ireland, if you look at the Scots and the Irish and the Welsh, if the sword dances that they did and everything, if you go to the Renaissance fairs, I used to watch them in Alba, Michigan, and it's fascinating to watch them because that's how they stayed in shape. They kept their balance and their conditioning, and it was always a way to keep them prepared to go to do war. So they'd lay two cross swords on the ground, and they had dances that were designed that their feet had to touch in between those blades of those swords and never touch the metal part of the sword. And so that taught discipline, coordination, cardiovascular. I mean, just think about it. And then you know, the Scottish games, they used to pick up those great big rocks, probably weighing 40 to 50 pounds each, and throwing them. And everything was designed with the idea of making you a better warrior. And that's what keeps your nation and your people strong, because it's the warriors that have to defend the innocents against what these monsters are doing. We forgot how to be warriors. We got to learn how to be warriors again. I yield.
Well, I can say that all my grandchildren know how to shoot. Two of my granddaughters aren't real fond of it. The 10-year-old and the 16-year-old, they're really good. And then a couple years ago, me and two of my granddaughters started doing archery. They're really good. I'm really super bad at it, but it's fun.
What was that, Matt?
I said archery is good fun, all right. I've got a long bow there, but I prefer the smaller combat bows. They're a bit easier to aim.
Yep, very good, yeah. Did everybody know that the English longbow was part of what took down the knights and armor? It wasn't just the crossbow when they first developed the crossbow, but the English longbow was so powerful that it could drive an arrow through a metal plate of the knights. And then I think it was the Japanese, I can't remember if they were first or they came by and mimicked the English longbow, but the Japanese got very good with that as well. And it was amazing how fast you could fire that bow and how powerful the bow was. So interesting how it changes warfare when inventions and new weaponry comes along. I have a book on my shelf over here with the whole history of that kind of thing. So best skilled in violence, says the Japanese Bushido code, says, you know, that's how good men keep bad men from doing bad things, is we have to be better trained at violence. Take the fight to them and destroy them. Not rehabilitate them, not put them in jail, not take them to court. Just destroy them. It's pretty simple, really. I don't know why everybody makes it very hard.
It's really a question of when.
Yeah, Matt was for... Go ahead, Matt.
I said it's really a question of when, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. It's not a question if, it's only a question of when. Ella, you were next.
I forgot what I was going to say. I'll have to claim old age.
Claim old age? No, you don't get to do that.
Yeah. Why?
Everybody here is young at heart. You don't get to claim old age.
who's the youngest one here?
Oh, that would have
to
be Matt.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Matt has to be.
Monday 24, so.
You're
24? 24. That's really young.
Yep.
Matt, can I ask you what your birthday is?
My granddaughter in the 30s.
It's May. May is my birthday. So a few months.
It's May 16th.
13th for me.
13th? Okay.
My sister was born on May 21st.
My birthday's May 1st.
She didn't live very long, though. She died when she was 33.
Oh.
She's young.
Good, Matt.
Well, I lived to be 80, so I made up for it.
How old are you, Ella?
80.
No.
I turned 80 years old on Christmas Day.
Oh, happy birthday.
I was born in 1942. You add them up.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't look it.
And what part of Texas do you live in? North, east, west, or south, or what?
I live in Joshua, and that's about 25 miles south of Fort Worth.
Joshua?
Yeah. The next town down is Godley.
Oh, Joshua. That's my son's name. Too bad he doesn't act like it.
There's Burleson and Cleburne around me.
Oh, okay. You're near Fort Worth. Yeah, there's...
My daughter lives in Fort Worth.
Oh, okay. You must have grandchildren, too.
I've got 8 of them, and I only know 2 of them.
Oh, okay.
My two younger children moved away when they were 20 years old, and I haven't talked to them for 35 years.
Oh, no. Okay.
They married people that didn't like me too well, so they took them way up to New Hampshire and Maine. And there's not much communication once your children move away from you and they start their own life. But that's okay. Yeah. I've adjusted.
You've been in Texas all this time? You don't have an accent.
I was born in Massachusetts.
And where?
Well, I was born and raised in Massachusetts, and then I spoke Pak Yaka and Harvard Yard.
Okay,
I don't speak like that anymore.
Yeah, got to work on it once you leave. Yeah.
I lived in Florida for 15 years, and then I lived in North Carolina for 4 years, and then I moved to Texas when I was 56, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in New Mexico ever since 1992, except for the year I went and lived in Wyoming, which I'll never do that again.
Oh, I was thinking Wyoming is beautiful. You didn't like it?
Oh, my God. Once it starts snowing there, the ice forms on the sidewalks, and the only thing they do clean is the streets. And the doors would lock. I couldn't get my car doors open half the time. They would just like freeze shut. It was terrible.
Wow. Massachusetts.
It's called Lander, Wyoming. And Wilford Brimley lived there, I guess. I think he was always at this restaurant there. There was a movie filmed there in Lander. It was about a Native Americans getting killed on the reservation, of course, and making it look like truckers and loggers were doing it, you know, one of those. It was with big actor, I forget his name. He's still alive. It'll come to me, but... Yeah, we lived there, and they showed, you know, going into the town, and my son and I watched the movie together on his computer. I forgot the name of it, but it was a well-done movie. But, of course, you know, it was, you know, the woke generation type stuff, but it was beautifully done. Anyway, I've got 2 crazy cats in here right now. They're going to start prancing around. I'll yield right now.
Okay. Charles, what's new in your part of the world, buddy?
Thank you, Dan. The spiritual battle continues. I was enjoying the conversation about possible life and death struggle against the children of Satan, the bloodline of liars that Jesus referred to, for purely pragmatic purposes in this spiritual battle, I'd like to propose that we present in our public agenda that resorting to the death penalty is lower on our priority list for even this evil bloodline, and that we will be happy with the second version of the 13th Amendment, which allows for due process of common law to sentence criminals to be slaves. Okay, they're under one by one. We could go through the whole race, and every time they commit a crime, just adjudicate them to be a slave. And at that point, we would have something that was more marketable, I think, to all of the rest of the American people that are kind of undecided on these issues. Because when we start from the get-go, talk about just killing them all, that's kind of difficult to convince most of the other American people to climb on board with. But following due process of law and sentence them to labor camps, to clear brush and dig ditches and stuff like that. I think that might have the blessing of our Father in heaven. Maybe not. I don't know. But it does seem to be more pragmatic and marketable in this battle for the minds and hearts of the people here. I'd be interested in any comments or questions on that proposition. I yield.
Well, go ahead, Matt.
On a marketability standpoint, I can see where you're coming from, but by the time it comes to that, I don't think man's law is going to count for much anyway.
The other aspect, though, nobody I know of is calling for a total Obadiah verse 18 solution at this time. However, God's law requires that if a person commits a capital crime, they should be executed. So it doesn't matter who they are. If they're going to commit a capital crime, then they should be taken out and hung.
Well, that's rather a statutory interpretation. I'm not opposed to the death penalty. But I like to think that the jury gets to decide all of those issues. And no doubt, in my mind, in a lot of these cases, the death penalty is quite appropriate, much more so than is common today. And in today's corrupted system, the people they're using the death penalty on probably don't deserve it. You know, and there's hundreds of people that do deserve it that aren't even coming close to getting a death penalty call. So comparing it to what we got now is really dysfunctional. But I think we're probably on the same page, Dan, that as long as it's the jury reflecting the conscience of the community in light of the divine mandates from heaven and natural law, I death penalty is extremely important in a multitude of cases and fully justified. So I'd be on board with that as long as it's the jury deciding by debate rather than just statutory. He did this, so we got to execute him.
But the jury's job is to weigh all evidence, and it must be without a shadow of a doubt guilty verdict before you can execute anybody.
There
can be no doubt about that. Our founding fathers said it very clearly. It's better that 100 evil men go free than to hang one innocent man.
Right.
So if you're going to err, you err on the side of caution before you go and pull the lever and hang somebody. So it has to be unanimous, and it has to be a jury, a proper jury of our elder men, of excellent and excellent character and biblical knowledge, and they have to sit in the jury, and they have to hear all of the evidence, and then they have to adjourn and vote. And if it's not unanimous, then there is no execution.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, if I might, Dan, the jury should be more fluid than I think what you're visualizing there, in that the jury should deliberate, but so that until they become unanimous one way or the other, either innocent or guilty, and until the accuser has the burden of proving his case beyond all reasonable doubt. And if he's done that, including proving malicious intent, mens rea, and that's the key ingredient. That's why you might resort to a death penalty, is because these people have malicious intent. They are purposefully trying to do evil against other people. That's the deciding factor in whether or not things like the death penalty are appropriate. So the jury should deliberate until they get a conviction one way or the other. And it, like you said, if there's a shadow of a doubt on anything, a reasonable doubt, see, the threshold is proof beyond all reasonable doubt. The prosecuting, the accusing party has proven the guilt and malicious intent of the defendant beyond all reasonable doubt. If the accuser has done that, and the accused has had plenty of time to defend, and he didn't mount a decent defense, then yeah, the death penalty could be appropriate if that's what the jury unanimously arrives at. I think that's probably, but that's a pretty heavy burden, you know, proof beyond all reasonable doubt and unanimous verdict. It's doable, but that takes a really well proven and documented case. I yield.
Well, it should be difficult. I guess Ella's had her hand up, so Ella, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, I've been on silent for the past 15 minutes. I haven't been able to say a word.
I don't know how that happened.
The lady kept saying, you've been taken off the queue, and you've been put back on the queue. So I didn't know what was going on. But I was wondering, we don't know what kind of people are on juries. They might be a bunch of kikes on there. We don't know if their judgments are good or bad or indifferent. And most of the people that get the death penalty, which they may deserve for murder, rape, or whatever, they hang around on death row in prison for 25 years before it's carried out, in which case we have to feed them, take care of them, give them dental, have their hair brushed, haircuts and all that kind of stuff. We have to take care of these bastards for most of their life while they sit in death row. So what good does the death penalty do?
Well, first of all, you're confusing the status quo versus where we're headed. Okay, that's the way things are today. But when we institute our father's law, that's not going to happen. If it's a capital case and they're found guilty, then they're executed. If they're not found guilty, they're let go. If it's a non-capital case, then the jury determines some sort of punishment, and it will require them to become slaves to the victims until they repay whatever the penalty. If they stole a car, then they have to work till they give back the original car and one more car as punishment. Things like that. There won't be jails. There won't be prisons. No prisons at all. Jails will simply hold people for 24 hours till they can get a jury together to have a trial. Period. That's it. So the current system, you're right. The juries are a mixed multitude. There's nothing to do with God's law in it at all. But in our system, the jury will only be occupied by men of good caliber and known to be upright men and righteous and knowledgeable in the biblical law. That's the only people that can sit in a jury box.
I'm not confusing them. I understand exactly what you're talking about. But the way it is now, the prison system in America now is all profit run by a bunch of single people out there that want to make money. And if you belong to certain organizations like the Freemasons, all you've got to do is give your signal and you any penalties for anything. But we have to change things. We have to get rid of these tyrants first.
That's what we're working on here, Sister Ella.
Yeah, I know it. I know you are, Charles. I really appreciate everything you're trying to do.
All right.
I have a different way of doing it, a way of thinking of just shooting them all, but I can't do that because that's illegal.
Yeah. <wish.
laughs> Ella, I love you.
Yeah. I love you too.
We think so much alike.
I think, Matt, did you have something you wanted to say? It looked like you were starting to say something.
Oh, I just said, I wish, when Ella said, I wish I could just shoot them all. And I'm gonna do them.
Oh, okay.
I'm with you, Matt. We all got to get a line for that one.
100%, yep. One day, praise God.
Well, when our Heavenly Father gives us the green light to go forward, it's going to be a flame and a fire, and it's going to spread worldwide overnight. So rest assured that this misery we're in right now is not going to be much longer. There is a righteous army. I've met them. They're out there. And they're restrained right now. I believe it's our Father's restraining them because, as Ella has pointed out many times, you know, everything in this world is under His control. So these evil bastards get away with what they're getting away with because our people have to repent. When our people finally repent and decide that they're God's creation, and they belong to Him and Him alone, and we will live under His law, and He is our King, then He's going to unleash that army on the world. But that army has to come to fruition. It has to manifest. And when it does, and we get that green light, I can guarantee you the streets will be full of our people, and they will be armed, they will be angry, and they'll be looking to take the wicked out the way that we were supposed to have done thousands of years ago, and our ancestors didn't do it. Yield. I yield.
I want to ask Matt another question. Matt, are you on Telegram?
I am, yeah. Is this Melissa that I speak to on Telegram, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes.
I had a feeling when you called in. I was like, is that Melissa? Is it?
Yes. Yes.
Small world, huh?
Yes. This is, you know, I'm about in tears because this right here shows that the remnant is being pulled together.
Absolutely, yeah.
I agree.
Hey, let me ask a question. If Matt does not mind, what's your Telegram handle on Telegram?
It's His Humble Remnant.
His?
Humble Remnant.
Home built?
No, humble.
Oh, humble. Humble. Okay, I'm sorry. The accent got me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
His Humble Remnant?
Remnant, yep.
Ah. You know, we used to go into the courtroom, me and the men, we had black baseball caps made up. They were solid black, and in gold letters across the front, it said remnant with the T shaped like a cross. And when we went into the courtroom to help a brother or a sister out that was being falsely accused, you should have seen the terror in the eyes of the people in the courtroom when they saw 5, 6, 7 men coming into the courtroom with those hats on. It terrified them. And I started a sort of like a company. It wasn't official, but many years ago when I first started teaching identity, and I called it the REA, the Remnant Education Association. And by Yahweh's design was a portion of the REA. So the word remnant is showing up more and more and more as these days go by. So that's another good sign. I agree with Melissa. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe everybody that knows everybody here and the other people that we know, it's all by design, by Yahweh's design. And we are forming a network across this earth, and we are the tip of the spear. I've told quite a few guys of that lately. my friend told me from Texas, believe it or not, many years ago, that being the lead dog is a lonely job. And I think Lane knows who told me that. But being the lead dog is a lonely job. And we as a group are the tip of Yahweh's spear on this earth. And so we can't reach out and grab somebody else's coattails and pull ourselves along. We're actually the icebreakers in this world. And we have to break things up. And we have to bring our brothers and sisters behind us and grab a hold of their hands and bring them up forward. So you're part of Yahweh's avant-garde, his stormtroopers, if you will. And yes, it's a lonely job. It's a thankless job many times, but that's part of what we're here for, is so that people that are part of that remnant can lift each other up and edify each other. I yield.
I definitely agree with you.
One thing about being the lead dog, you may be lonely, but the scenery changes. If you're not the lead dog, you see the same scenery all over again, day by day.
Okay. Do you yield?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
I don't want to stay in someone's high end.
Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, I definitely agreement with you on the no coincidences thing. I actually woke up in the afternoon for your last show, the one you do in the morning, and I was listening to it, and I always think it's quite funny how we can all be on the same wavelength, because I had the thought in my head, I'd just love to go home, in my head over the last couple of weeks, and it's funny to hear you say it then on the show, you know.
As
I said, no coincidences, like, it's funny. Anyway, I yield, that's it.
Yeah, it's very good. You know, and it amazes me too, when I first learned this message and I made a promise to Yahweh that I would preach it to the whole world. And that was back in the early 1990s, where there were no personal computers yet, and there was no internet. So I scrambled for 7 years trying to be able to build a shortwave radio station and looking into things like that. And then out of the blue, here comes this thing called the internet, and the price of personal computers started dropping. And then shortly after that, by Yahweh's design, radio started as an internet radio. And so my point being, when I first made that promise, I had no idea how I was going to accomplish it. No idea at all. Nothing I tried worked. Everything seemed outside of my ability or my finances. And then when it was time to preach to the world, the Father had already taken care of it. He already had people working on putting it together. Now, they may have been evil men trying to do it for evil purposes, but he turned around. And now today, 23 years later, we've had 23 years of By Yahweh's Design talking to the whole world. And tonight, we're sitting here with some of us in Canada, some of us over in Ireland, some of us all over the United States. And we're able to sit here and have a conversation as if we're in the same room. I think, you know, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh because he's giving us tools to accomplish what he wants us to do in these latter days. I yield.
Amen.
Amen.
Matt, I just wrote to you in Telegram. It's Jennifer.
Okay, cool. I know who's who.
And yeah, Melissa and I are friends on Telegram too, so. And Dan.
Oh yeah, I'm over there too. I'll send a link or whatever it is, join your channel or however the Telegram calls it, I can't remember.
No worries. That'd be good.
Mhm. Oh yeah, I've got a lot of information off of Telegram.
It's great.
Yeah, I've joined a lot of channels. I personally think Telegram's the better platform of all of them that are out there.
It is, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest to pass information. It's more user-friendly. It's got more tools. And it's just laid out nicer. I just find it the best that's out there. So, and somebody said a long time ago, probably about 4 years ago or 5 years ago, that Telegram would be the major Patriot platform for awakening the American people. Well, actually the people in the world, but especially here in America, it would be one of the primary tools for patriots used to wake up the masses to some of the garbage that's going on. I yield. Oh, I see Charles put his name in here. Charles Stewart, and that's all together with no spaces on Telegram.
Is he on? Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
No spaces?
No spaces, just capital C Charles and then capital S Stewart. Stewart. So that's two more Telegram connections I'll have.
Nice. Yeah, we're building community real nice here, you guys. And is it Matt or Ralph that's in Ireland there?
Matt.
Excellent. Excellent. Back to our Celtic roots.
Across
this is
the pond, yeah.
Yeah, there's grand tradition. If you look back to the Norman conquest of England in 1066 AD, that's very obscured history. It's back 150 years earlier than Magna Carta. And see, the research that's been completed in my realm anyway, and I've been sharing this with Dan and others, is that we're getting back real close before that Norman conquest of 1066 AD. That was the leftovers from what 1,000 years earlier our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ put in place, because the Roman slave traders were warring against the Northern Europeans, the Anglos, the Celtic tribes, the Israelite people. The Romans have been warring against us ever since they nailed our Lord and Savior to the cross, before that even. And so there's been polarized conflict between the people of Israel and the Roman Empire. And the Pharisee Jews are just, they're the slaves of the Roman Empire. They're the moral prostitutes. They sell themselves out. I consider them to be the Babylonian whore, and the Roman Empire to be the beastly power. But our Northern Europeans were the barbarians. And you know, our history is really goofed up. Around 450 AD, the history indicates that our ancestors came in and sacked Rome and totally took down and dismantled that entire evil empire system. And that was a good thing, but somehow it's been resurrected, and it, 7 heads and 10 horns, it's come back to life, and now it's oppressing us all again. But if we can get our people together, especially through these new tools, like what we've got with the internet here, and we can connect to like Ireland and our other British Isles ancestors with our Americans and Canadians, and even down in Australia and Zealand, all of this same traditional organic body politic that it has the tradition of common law. That tradition of common law is based solidly on biblical Torah law. And once these ideas are clear in your mind that there's linkages between biblical Torah law and common law, and we can go into that another time if you like, but once that's solidly connected, that to my mind, that's the best evidence to prove identity. Who else is carrying on the Torah laws of Israel? It's only the Northern European Protestants that have the tradition of the common law. It don't happen in Rome or any of the Roman Empire civil municipal jurisdictions in South America. It don't happen in most of Europe. It only happens in Northern Europe and the British Isles and some of the Scandinavian countries. That's it. And we are the modern legacy of the biblical Torah law that was brought into a state of perfection, the perfect law of liberty, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's powerful, powerful evidence on our behalf. And when we could have organized people going into courtrooms with the hats, with wording on it, and T-shirts that say peace officer, things like that, we can take over. The tools are at our fingertips to start the revolution right now. And I'm anxious to get going. And in conferences like this and what we did on Monday evening and stuff are moving us in a real good direction, and I think it's going to be like wildfire, like in dry brush and stuff, just one little spark and boom, the whole area is on fire and taken off, and the bad guys are running for cover. I think that's at our, that could happen by this summer or something, I think, real easily. I yield.
Yep.
A story about the remnant. This is the second time within a year that this has happened. I am on the Gideon Warrior on Tuesdays, and I upload a lot of his dissertations. Well, I also am friends with Monica Stone in South Africa, and I do the Living Waters Foundation. Excuse me. And there was a big check cut. A woman passed, and she left a trust fund. And the trustee happened to be Doug Nelson of the Gideon Warrior. And I was like, this is unreal. And I am overjoyed right now. I just feel like Yahweh has touched my heart. And because this is the second time in a year that something like this has happened to me. And I am absolutely overjoyed.
Yeah, hallelujah. And that's how we built.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was just going to say that's how the Father builds things up. You know, here a little, there a little, piece by piece, line by line, precept upon precept. And so each of us is a warrior in his army. And many times we do things and we're not really quite sure why we're doing them. But then months later, maybe sometimes even years later, it becomes clear to us exactly why the events happened in our life or the people that came into our life did. And so that's what that sounds like to me, Melissa. And again, here tonight, and you know, you find out that you and Matt have already been communicating on another platform, and we've picked up some other information. And again, these start adding together, and eventually we will reach a tipping point, and I believe, like Charles, I don't think we have that much longer to go. I believe we're getting very, very close to the time this thing is going to tip over towards the Revelation 17 and 18 point and the Obadiah verse 18, which I was going to read here. And the children of Jacob, that's us, will be a fire, and those of Joseph a flame, again, our people. And the children of Esau will be as dry stems of grass, burned up by Yahweh's people till all is gone. And there will be no people living in Esau, for Yahweh has said it. So their fate has already been determined by the Father himself. It's got nothing to do with us. This is going to happen whether we're here or not, whether we like it or not. He has determined at some point that the sons of God will manifest, and they will be a flame and a fire, and they will destroy all of the wicked, not just the Edomite wicked, all of those who do evil and wickedness on this earth. They will be destroyed. I yield.
Does anybody happen to know what tribe they come from?
No. I'm from the tribe of Judah.
Are you? I'm from the tribe of Issachar.
My dad's German.
My whole line is Finnish, and that's Issachar.
Yep, Levi and Judah.
I believe that I'm Judah as well, just because of the Milesians and Tamara Tepe. And from my understanding from listening to Bertrand Comparé, he was saying that any of the names in Ireland that have an O, you know, O'Malley or anything like that. Now, my name doesn't have an O, but the old version of my second name did have an O. So I believe, I could be wrong, who knows, but...
That'd be interesting research for all of us. Hi, Ian. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't have a thing to raise my hand. I do believe that some Irish are from the tribe of Judah from my research.
Well, as far as I know, it's the Germans, the Scots, and the Irish. Now, obviously, you get a mix of every tribe in every country, you know. So it's kind of hard to know.
Yeah.
But come here, it doesn't matter really anyway, does it? We know who we are. That's the main thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, my mom is my mom was German, and my dad was Irish and Osage Cherokee Indian.
And the Cherokee were our people.
Well, he was from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. My sister, half-sister, won't give me any information. She's got it all. He ended up, he worked for Texas Instruments, and he had created patents on the grocery store scanners, which I call the mark of the beast. And those patents are, you know, she has money accessible in California where she lives, but I keep trying to tell her to look it up so she can get it, but she won't, after her husband died, she wouldn't talk to me anymore. I don't know why, but yeah. I met her. I went to San Diego to get sober and found out that, you know, she was going to the same AA meetings as me. So, oh, boy. In El Cajon. She still lives there. Anyway, those were the days. But anyway, I wish I could get more information. I tried calling the Cherokee Nation in Bartlesville, and their phone service is always messed up, so I gave up. Yeah,
but I'm in agreement too. You know, we all have our own tribes, but we're still from the seed of Jacob. And how we know is, I believe that we are the only ones that can understand the identity message. Yes, I have siblings, and they don't agree with it, but that's because they don't want to know who they are. But I believe that because when I first was introduced to the identity message, someone sent me a Bertrand Comparé. I got to the point I wasn't even believing in God. That's how frustrated I was with things. And that very first video, I just knew. I knew I had found it. And my life has totally been so much better, and I love it. I love knowing who I am.
I was dispensationalist before I met Dan 5 years ago, and the minute I heard identity, I knew that was the truth.
It's funny, isn't it, that it works like that? Cause I was the same. I read.
He pointed me to Comparé and Pete Peters, and that was it. That changed my life.
It was In the Name of Yahweh by Andrew Carrickton Hitchcock. My dad gave me that, and that was it then after that.
I know Andrew. Andrew is a friend of mine. I've got his two books over here on my shelf, as a matter of fact, autographed copies of them. Huh?
As do I.
Ah, very good. Yep. So the commonality in what everybody is saying here, we're all part of the same family, no matter what tribal roots we have. I think we're all probably a mixture of two or three tribes at this point. The majority, maybe not all, but the majority. And I've told people for years, you know, this country was only one vote away from speaking German instead of English. That's all, wow. Just one vote. If one guy had voted the other way, German would have been the language of North America instead of English. So English itself is a derivative of German. In fact, if you listen to somebody speaking Old English, it sounds exactly like German. So, you know, our German roots are everywhere. And I will say one thing, in all of my years of traveling to personal meetings, and then when the internet came along, all of the internet meetings that I've been at, every time I ask for a show of hands on how many people had Germanic blood in them, there were always somewhere around 95% of the people in the room were part German. So I think that goes along with what Jennifer was saying. We can pick up the truth because we have both the hardware and the software, meaning we have the DNA of our ancestors, but we also have the spiritual connection, which many of our people, they either don't have the DNA, or if they do have the DNA, they've left out the software, which is the spiritual part. So you got to have both. It's a double witness. You got to have the DNA and the software spiritual part to be able to discern truth today, and that's why it's a remnant that understands the truth of everything that's going on, whereas the majority are going to get led right into the pit. You can see it now. Go to the shopping centers. You can see all of the zombies that are on their way out of here. The highways are choked with all of the zombies that are on their way out. Zombies that are still going and putting that poison in their bodies. I've told people, I said it might sound a bit cruel, but I hope they die sooner. I don't have much empathy left for people that worship the beast. I mean, it's insane to me that with all this mountain of information that's out there, that anybody would listen to any of these governments or organized religion or corporations. Why would you listen to these people? They have done nothing but lie to us from day one. I yield.
The power of the television.
Yeah. Amen. Yep, the image of the beast.
It's not to be underestimated.
What's that?
I said it's not to be underestimated.
No. When the scripture talks about the image of the beast, remember that the preposition of also can be a possessive preposition. So the image of the beast, we always think it means it's going to look like some kind of beast. That's not what it's saying. It's the image controlled by the beast. And the images controlled by the beast are exactly all of your flat screen images. I yield.
Uh-oh. my phone is flat screen.
Yeah, but you choose what you listen to and watch on it. Every flat screen is capable of doing both good or evil. What I'm saying is the beast controls. If you tune into the beast controlled images, you'll become brainwashed into their way of thinking. If you control the images that are controlled by Yahweh's people, well, then just the opposite happens. You're edified and you're strengthened to resist the beast and be able to come through this thing. So it's the images controlled by the beast that cause the problems, not the images controlled by the righteous.
Desert Owl just has been on again, and he's doing the Book of Isaiah through the Indo-Germanic and the Farrar Fenton Bible. So he's got some good stuff up, but nobody ever gets on and chats with anybody there. It's only like, you know, the admin. But
will you please send me a link? Because the Book of Isaiah is one of my favorites.
Will you please send me a link, Jennifer?
It's coming from the a Bible that he's like trying to put some stuff together with Indo-Germanic language. So, yeah, I'll send you the link. It was on this morning. But he goes on like 2.5-3 hours. Like, it makes me remember Mike's meetings. I can't.
You can pause it and go back later.
I know.
That is one thing that a lot of people today seem to forget is people have a very shortened attention span, and we're not at the beginning of the awakening. We're getting close to the end of the awakening and getting ready to go into the judgment phase. So having the privilege that older people like myself had, to where we could take decades to order books and tapes and tracks and listen to YouTubes and all that for our education, the people coming up right now, they're not going to have that privilege. We don't have that kind of time. And so a lot of these people that are armed with tremendous knowledge, they need to figure out how to encapsulate it into much smaller bites. As the scripture says, when you're dealing with a babe, you have to feed them pablum, which is baby food. They can't, guys like Desert Owl, the problem with him is he's at such a high level, he's going to leave most people in the dust. They can't comprehend what he's trying to say. So he has to put that in some kind of a palatable, small dose, basically say, this is what this all means. He's trying to bring everybody along through that whole laborious interpretation process. And I'm going to tell you that the vast majority of our people just are not going to be able to comprehend it nor follow it. So, he's got to boil it down into something that's able to have babes be able to pick it up and digest it, or else it will be, left out there and never be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, real quick, it's not a biggie, but when we see the word Celt, and it's sometimes spelt with a C and sometimes with a K, because of my study of ancient languages and all, it would be nice if we could get all on the same page and understand that that word is actually pronounced Celt, because it comes from the Greek word Keltoi, which was the Greek's word for the Israelites when they traveled through Europe into the northern places and to the British Isles. They were called the Keltoi because Keltoi meant the peculiar people, which is exactly what Scripture says we were called, his peculiar people.
Amen.
So the ancient Greeks called them the Keltoi, and that's where we get the word Celt. So it should be with a K sound. The letter C is a false letter put in by the Romans. Yeah. And every time you see a word with the letter C in it, it should either be replaced with a S or a K.
That's what Desert said.
Exactly, because the C is a false letter. It doesn't belong in our alphabet. It should be thrown away, and every word with C in it should be replaced with an S or a K, and then it would get back to the ancients the way they pronounced it, etc. So, again, little things they've done to us that cause confusion. With the way they've adulterated the alphabet, they've adulterated our calendars, they've adulterated many of the ancient texts. So again, it behooves us to dig to the manure that they have spread on us and get those nuggets of truth out there and dispel all this. But so it's a small item. I know a lot of people still like to use the word Celt, like the Celtics. But it's actually the Celtics. There is no such thing as an S sound in the word that we were called for thousands of years. I yield.
How would you replace the C with the nasal CH? with the H, change it.
Because
you couldn't get rid of the C and have the name Charles.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, CH is its own letter. If you go back to the ancient alphabets, CH was the X. If you look at Greek writings, it's chi, and that's where you get the word Christos, like in Christ, Christos. It's got that X letter, which is chi, and so the English CH is a representation of chi. So that's the only time a C would actually stay, because CH is a different letter. I'm talking about C.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Sometimes I know things.
Fascinating.
And sometimes my family says, why do you even care about stuff like that? I've had an interest in linguistics and languages since I was a boy. It just fascinates me, especially once I learned identity, because now my studies always proved identity to be 100% accurate. And so when it gets back to the ancient alphabets, ancient Hebrew, it was Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth. That's the first four letters. There is no C in there, so it's basically A, B, G, D. And then you go to the Greeks, and it was Alpha, Beta, Gimel, Delta. So the ancient Greeks followed the ancient Hebrews exactly. The first four letters were A, B, G, D. They just give it a different name, but they pronounce it the same. And in fact, the word alphabet is from the Greek, alpha, beta, the first two letters of the alphabet, alpha, beta, so alphabet. So, it's just a fascinating thing because, again, it just solidifies the truth of the identity message and who we are. And it also helps us identify where the enemy has crept in and made small little tiny changes, you know, those small almost imperceptible changes. That's what leaven is. The scriptures told us, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, the Jew. And that's what leavening process is, making tiny changes in things that they're so tiny and so small over a long period of time that they become almost imperceptible. And that's how they've done it, like little termites. They just sit there eating away day and night. And so for maybe 20 years, you think everything's okay until one day the end of your house falls off. All right?
this group of people is the most fascinating I've ever met in my life. Every one of you has your story, your beginning, your fascination. Each one of us has a different base, but they all meld together beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
the family.
That's the family aspect of it. That's right. We can't all do it singularly, but as a group, we can do mighty things. It doesn't take a majority. It just takes a minority ever keen on setting brush fires in the people's minds. And that's all really identity is trying to do, is set brush fires in people's minds, get them to think about things. First of all, knowing who we are. If you don't know who you are and where you've come from, you'll never figure out where you're going. So it's paramount that we know who the hell we are. All right? Because just as Charles said, you know, our roots go back to even before Magna Carta and even King Alfred, when he codified the Old Testament into English law. And England had one of its greatest periods of power and success under Alfred, because he just took the Old Testament and codified it and made it English law. That's all we're attempting to do, is repeat what King Alfred did, is recognize the fact that we have a king, we have a lawgiver, and we have a judge. We've got everybody in one body, Yahweh, right there. We got it all. We don't need this Jewish fabrication of Roman law. I mean, we need to burn it to the ground. It's an enslavement system. It's not going to bring justice and prosperity to Yahweh's people. ever. I yield.
Yeah, we can change Rome.
Hmm? You broke up, Ella.
Yeah.
Oh, I was saying Yahweh, or Yeshua, never tried to change Rome. He just said, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's, or Yahweh's. But, you know, it's like one thing that I have a hard time understanding a lot. I'm doing a job in, you know, bringing forth some things, and he's made me understand a lot of things about changes that we need to make. But I still have a hard time understanding how we can change Babylon.
That's the biggest thing that irks me as well, yeah.
Because there are so many...
If I might...
There's so many things wrong.
Right, but...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Charles.
If I might jump in, yes. If our American U.S. constitutional system, it's designed, it established a Roman Empire model of civil, municipal, statutory government. But that was a temporary emergency war powers government, and it's designed in the Constitution to eventually collapse. But the opportunity to build from the grassroots up our Exodus 18 model of government with our precinct level 100 courts is built into it. And as soon as we start exercising our jurisdiction in our common law precinct level 100 courts, then if you look at the Seventh Amendment, the wording there, it says no fact tried by a jury shall be reexamined by any court of the United States, basically. That means their jurisdiction shrinks as we start bringing together more Bible-based common law jury verdicts, okay? And their courts are slow. We can assemble juries and adjudicate cases fast. Once the wording of the Seventh Amendment indicates once a jury verdict is achieved, then the federal government can't do anything unless they follow the rules of the common law. And they hate the rules of the common law because they can't oppress people with them. And so basically that means that our smaller local jurisdictions at the precinct and the county levels get to take over all of the functions of government, and the federal and the state civil municipal statutory government shrinks. It collapses because there's nothing left for them to adjudicate or enforce. It's all being done at the local levels under biblical Torah law and common law. I yield.
Yeah, very good. Matt, you were saying something too.
Oh, I don't recall. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's been a lively discussion. We're about at the hour and a half mark. I was going to say, does anybody have any closing comments? And then if Melissa would, take us out in a short prayer. But before we say the prayer, we'll find out if there was any final comments anybody wanted to make tonight.
Thank you all for being here.
Hold on, Matt was first. Go ahead, Matt.
Let's say small words. That Melissa is on here as well. That's great. So it was nice to chat to you. That's all I have to say.
Yep. Excellent.
Yes, you don't know. I can't even. I mean, when I said I'm about to cry, it was tears of joy because it was just so touching that this happened. And I'm a very happy woman tonight. I'll tell you that.
God works in mysterious ways, huh?
I am also. I always feel this way when this group gets together. I always end up feeling 100% better than when I went into it. Just it does something to my heart that makes it swell up and just feel like I belong.
Well, it's a good thing Dan got over his cold.
Yes.
Yes. But I have a question, Dan.
Dan,
are you
like to help me better?
Are you friends with Mike Gaddy?
Yes.
Oh, because he's on Facebook. Yeah, he posts stuff all the time on Facebook. So, but is he one of us?
He does not preach identity, but he is a scholar as far as American history. And so I've interviewed Mike many times. He was at the Pentagon on 9/11, so he has quite a bit to say about what actually happened on 9/11. But, yeah, Mike, I don't know. We don't really get into discussions of theology as much as we do about what's going on in politics and things like that. But I would say, if I was to guess, I would say he's probably 95 to 98% identity.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess he had a falling out with the one with the real thick English accent, Paul.
A lot of people have had a falling out with the folks at Eurofolk Radio.
Yeah.
So,
and I think Ann Andrew. I'm not positive, though.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Melissa, are you up to closing us in a prayer?
Yes, I was looking for the Warrior's Prayer, but I can't find it. So I'm going to read a verse from Isaiah 46, 3 to 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and of all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age. I am he. And even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you.
Hallelujah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's Amen. Right. Beautiful. He does not forsake us. It's always we forsake him. So, yep, I'd say amen to that. Well, again, it was a great family hour here, social hour. I did record it, so I will be posting it for anybody that missed it. And, you know, Yahweh bless each and every one of you. Again, keep going strong. I think we're on the right track, and we just have to keep going. And he's going to continue to open up doors and bring more of us together. And tomorrow's another day, and another day closer to the remnant and the men of Yahweh being manifested and the evil and wicked to be put in the dirt where they belong. So, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.